Welcome back to the deep dive. So it is February 2026, and I want to start with a scenario that I think literally everyone listening has experienced at least once this week.
Oh, I'm sure.
Right. So you pull out your phone, you open up ChatGPT or Microsoft Copilot or, whatever Apple is calling Siri this month.
Apple Intelligence, yeah.
Right, exactly. And you ask a question that frankly used to take maybe 5 minutes of Googling and scrolling.
The classic one-shot
Yeah,
answer.
the one shot. You say, where can I get a decent gluten-free pizza that's open right now? And boom, you get one answer. Maybe two if you're lucky. There's no scrolling, there's no blue links, no digging through those ad-infested food blogs where you have to read the author's whole life story first.
Just the fact.
Just the facts. And it feels, well, it feels like magic.
It does.
But because it feels like magic, there is this massive anxiety bubbling up in the business world right now.
Yeah, the whole death of search panic.
Exactly. The narrative out there is search is dead, websites are dead. If I'm a local business owner, do I even need to exist on the internet anymore? Or
Right?
do I just kind of pray the AI gods smile upon me? Because it feels like we're moving away from active optimization into just pure hope.
Which is a valid fear. I mean, if the user interface completely changes from a list of 10 blue links to a single direct conversation, the backend mechanics absolutely have to change too.
Yeah.
The margin for error just completely disappears.
So that's our mission today. We are stress testing that exact fear. We're pulling from an article on freebusinesslisting.com. And I gotta admit, the headline sounded like clickbait to me at first.
What was it?
It says, AI did not kill local listings, it made them more important.
Yes, I know the piece well. It's actually a very sober, detailed look at the new plumbing of the internet.
See, that's where I get stuck. The plumbing. Because I think we've all been sold this idea that AI is this super intelligent, magical brain. It passes the bar exam, it writes poetry.
Yeah.
So I sort of just assume that if I open a coffee shop downtown, the AI just
Yeah.
knows, like it pulls it out of thin
Out
air.
of thin air.
Yeah.
Right. And that is perhaps the most dangerous assumption a business owner can make in 2026.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. We actually call that the omniscience myth, the
Yeah.
idea that the AI just sees all and knows all.
Okay, so shatter the myth for me. Why doesn't this super brain know that I just opened a coffee shop?
Because you have to remember what these things actually are. Large language models, LLMs, they are not truth engines.
Okay.
They are prediction engines. They are incredibly good at predicting the next word in a sentence based on massive amounts of training data.
Right.
But they have a very fundamental weakness when it comes to hard facts. They hallucinate.
Oh, yeah, we've all seen that. Like that lawyer a few years ago who cited fake cases because ChatGPT just completely made them up.
Exactly. It just predicted what a legal citation should look like. Now imagine that same hallucination happening with local search.
Yeah.
You ask for a plumber. The AI just invents a name that sounds like a plumber, gives you a number, you call it, and it's a disconnect.
Or it sends you to an address that's like a vacant lot.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And to an AI company, whether that's Microsoft, Google, Apple, a hallucination in a commercial query isn't just a funny quirk, it's a massive product failure.
Because the user loses trust immediately.
Exactly. It's a huge liability. So to fix this, they don't let the AI just guess based on its raw training data anymore.
Okay.
They force the AI to ground its answers in a predefined source of truth.
Grounding. Okay, that's a term I keep hearing everywhere. What does that actually mean in this context?
It basically means the AI isn't allowed to create the answer from scratch. It has to retrieve it.
Got it.
It's actively looking for verified, structured data that it can trust 100% before it speaks.
So where does it find that data? Because I'm guessing it's not scanning my Instagram stories to see what time I opened.
Definitely not. It's looking at known entities, the boring established directories that have been around forever.
Like what?
Google Business Profile, Apple Maps, Bing Places, Yelp.
Really, Yelp?
Yes, because these platforms have spent the last 20 years verifying that businesses actually exist at specific physical coordinates on the globe.
So wait, hold on. You're saying that the most cutting-edge technology in human history, generative AI, is basically just reading the digital phone book.
In a way, yeah. But it's reading the phone book with a very, very critical eye. And that brings us to the core concept of this source article, which is the confidence score.
The confidence score. Walk me through this. How does a literal robot calculate its confidence?
Think of it as a strict probability calculation. The AI looks at a specific entity, let's say a restaurant called Joe's Pizza.
Okay, Joe's Pizza.
It scans the major data sources in real time. Google says Joe's is at 123 Main Street and closes at 10 p.m. Mm-hmm. Apple Maps says Joe's is at 123 Main Street and closes at 10 p.m. Bing and Yelp agree completely.
Okay, so the jury is unanimous.
Exactly. So the confidence score is incredibly high. The AI internalizes that and says, I am 99% sure this information is correct.
Right.
And because of that high score, it feels totally safe recommending Joe's Pizza to you.
But what happens when the jury disagrees? Like, what if the data is messy?
Which it usually is. Let's say Jay updated his Google profile, but his Yelp page still says he closes at 8 p.m.
Typical.
And maybe his Facebook page lists a phone number that got disconnected 2 years ago.
I see this all the time. I mean, it's annoying for me as a human, but I usually just call to double check or look at the newest review.
Right. A human calls to double check. An AI does not call. An AI looks at that conflict. Google says X. Yelp says Y. And the confidence score plummets instantly.
Wow.
It might drop from 99% to, say, 40%.
Yeah.
And here is the real kicker for business owners.
Hit me.
Below a certain confidence threshold, the AI won't just rank you lower. It will outright refuse to mention you at all.
Wait, really? It effectively de-indexes you from the conversation.
It silences you. Because again, if it recommends you and you turn out to be closed, the user blames the AI. The whole system is programmed to be hyper-averse.
So it would rather give no answer than a wrong answer.
Exactly.
That is terrifyingly binary.
It is.
I feel like in the old SEO days, you could be a little sloppy. You know, you miss an update and maybe you drop to page 2 instead of page 1.
Sure.
But you're saying in the AI era, you are either the definitive answer or you are completely invisible. There's no page 2.
That is the big shift. We are moving from a list economy to an answer economy.
A list economy to an answer economy.
Right. In a list, being number 7 is fine. You still get traffic. In an answer, there is usually only one or maybe a curated top 3. If your data isn't pristine, you don't make the cut.
Let's make this really concrete for the listener. The article used an HVAC example that I thought was fantastic because it really raises the stakes of the search.
The emergency scenario.
Yes, the emergency. So it's February. A pipe bursts in my house. My basement is actively flooding.
Panic mode.
Complete panic. I am not browsing. I am not reading a blog post titled Top 10 Plumbers in the Metro Area.
No one has time for that.
No. I am literally yelling at my phone, find me a plumber who can get here right now.
And in that moment, the AI has to make a split-second decision. It's looking for what we call trust signals.
Okay, so apart from the address and the hours matching perfectly, what actually counts as a trust signal?
It's a combination of 3 things: recency, frequency, and consistency.
Okay.
The AI checks the background data. Is this business actually active? Has they received a review in the last month? Did the owner respond to that review?
Wait, responding to reviews matters to the robot? I thought that was just polite customer service for the humans.
No, it's a digital heartbeat check.
A heartbeat check?
Think about it. If a listing hasn't had a new review or an owner response or a photo update in 6 months, the AI's dormancy flags go up.
It assumes the business might be dead.
Exactly. It thinks maybe this plumber went under.
Yeah.
I can't risk sending a user to a closed business during an emergency.
Wow.
But if there was activity, say, a review reply from 3 days ago, the confidence spikes.
Yeah.
It knows you're alive.
So in this world, silence is basically death.
Silence is risk. And remember, AI is allergic to risk.
Right.
But the absolute biggest signal, the one the article really hammers home, is that cross-platform consistency. Mm. We call NAP consistency. Name, address, phone number.
It sounds so incredibly basic, NAP.
It is basic, but you would be shocked, truly shocked, how many local businesses get it wrong.
Really? Like how?
They'll have Joe's Pizza LLC on their Google profile, but just Joe's Pizza on Facebook.
Okay.
Or they spell out the word street on Apple Maps, but abbreviate it to Saint on Bing.
Come on. Does the Saint versus Street thing really confuse an AI? I mean, these models can write Python code. Surely they understand basic abbreviations.
It's not that they can't figure it out. They can. But it adds what engineers call computational friction.
Computational friction?
Yes. It introduces a tiny microscopic variable of doubt. And when you are competing against another plumber who has identical byte-for-byte matching data across the entire ecosystem,
the AI chooses the easier option.
Chooses the path of least resistance. It chooses the mathematically clean entity.
Computational friction. I really like that phrase. You're basically making the AI think too hard, so it just skips you.
Exactly. You want to be the frictionless answer.
Okay, so this connects to something else the source mentioned that I want to dig into. The knowledge graph.
Oh, yes.
I feel like I've heard Google talk about the knowledge graph for years, but how does it fit into this specific AI conversation today?
So think of the knowledge graph as a giant, invisible spider web that connects everything in the world. People, places, things, concepts.
Mm-hmm.
In the old web, your business was just a standalone web page. In the AI web, your business is a node in this massive graph.
A node.
Right. The AI navigates the internet by jumping from node to node. If your node, your business, has strong, consistent connections to other highly trusted nodes.
Like what?
Like a verified Apple Maps listing, a Better Business Bureau accreditation, maybe a mention in a local news article. The AI sees you as firmly anchored in reality.
And if I just have my own website and literally nothing else?
Then you're a floating island. You aren't connected to the graph. The AI doesn't know how to securely place you in the context of the real world.
That makes so much sense.
That's why listings aren't just marketing tools anymore. They are the actual data anchors that hold your business inside the knowledge graph.
Which perfectly explains the zero-click search phenomenon that the article touched on, because I feel like this is the part that frustrates business owners the absolute most.
Oh, without a doubt. It's the whole death of the website conversation.
Right. Because look, I spend 10 grand on a beautiful custom website. I have the gorgeous About Us page, the drone video of my storefront, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
And then the user asks the AI, what time does the coffee shop open? The AI just says 7 a.m. and the user puts their phone back in their pocket.
Mm-hmm.
They never even see my beautiful website. I feel like I've been robbed of a visit.
You have been robbed of a visit. That is true. But you gained a customer.
That's a fair point. But honestly, does the website even matter at all then? Why spend the 10 grand?
It absolutely matters. But its role has fundamentally changed.
Okay.
For the last 20 years, your website was the destination.
Right. You wanted the traffic.
You wanted eyeballs. Now, the website is the warehouse.
The warehouse.
It's the structured storage facility where you keep the data that the AI comes to fetch.
So the AI is my primary customer now.
In a way, yes. The AI visits your website to verify the facts, cross-references them with your listings, and then it serves those facts to the human on the search results page.
Wow.
If your warehouse is messy, if the AI can't easily find your hours of operation because they're buried inside a PDF menu.
Oh, PDF menus. I hate them so much.
We all do. But business owners love them.
Mm.
If your hours are in a PDF or an image file, the AI often can't serve the answer.
I didn't even realize they were invisible to the machine.
They are completely opaque. I mean, if you post your hours as a picture of a handwritten flyer on your door, the AI might be able to use vision tech to read it, but...
But that's high effort.
Exactly. It's friction again. You want the data to be raw text, clearly labeled on the site.
The source mentions structured data or schema. Is that what this is? Labeling things for the AI.
Yes. Think of a traditional website like a really messy desk covered in papers. A human can dig through the pile and eventually find the stapler.
Right.
An AI is essentially blind to layout. It needs you to put the stapler in a very specific box, explicitly labeled stapler.
And schema is that label.
Schema is the invisible code that wraps around your data. It tells the web crawler, hey, this string of numbers is definitely a zip code, not a product price.
Oh, that's smart.
Or this string of digits is a local phone number. It completely removes the guesswork for the AI.
Okay, so we've established the problem.
Right.
The AI needs crystal clean data, or it ignores you. The confidence score is basically judge, jury, and executioner.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the actual checklist here? If I'm a listener and I'm actively sweating because I haven't updated my Bing profile since, like, 2019, what do I actually do?
First of all, stop sweating. This is genuinely good news.
How is I might be entirely invisible to the internet good news?
Because the bar is currently so low.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Most businesses are absolutely terrible at this. If you just execute on the fundamentals, you are instantly ahead of 90% of your competitors who are still trying to hack SEO by writing 2,000 blog posts a year.
Okay, I love the sound of that. So what are the fundamentals? Walk me through the checklist.
Step one is claim and verify. You have to go to Google Business Profile, Apple Maps, Bing Places, and Yelp. Make sure you actually have the login credentials.
Because if you don't...
If you don't own the listing, literally anyone can suggest an edit and change your operating hours.
Wait, that actually happens. People change other businesses' hours.
All the time. Competitors do it, angry ex-employees do it, or sometimes it's just a genuinely confused user trying to be helpful.
That's wild.
And if you haven't claimed the listing officially, the platform might just accept the user's edit automatically because they assume the actual owner doesn't care.
Noted. Step one, lock the digital doors. What's step two?
The NAP audit. You sit down, put your exact business name, address, and phone number into a blank spreadsheet. Then you open up every single digital profile you have. Do they match that spreadsheet exactly? If you use Suite 100 on Apple, but hashtag 100 on Google, you fix it.
Yeah.
You have to become obsessed with consistency.
Perfect consistency. And step three is the heartbeat thing you mentioned earlier.
Yes. Reviews and photos. And look, you don't need 500 five-star reviews to win.
That's a relief.
You just need recent ones. And more importantly, you need to reply to them. Even a simple thanks for coming in tells the algorithm, hey, there is an active human being managing this node in the graph.
It really just seems so simple when you lay it out. It's just basic housekeeping.
It is. It's digital housekeeping.
Yeah.
But here is where it gets really interesting and where the article hints at the future.
Okay.
We've mostly been talking about today about AI answering informational questions. Where's the pizza? When is the plumber open?
Right.
But this is the part that should really make every business owner sit up straight. We are moving into what's called agentic AI.
Agentic AI? You mean like AI agents?
Exactly. Right now, we are in the informational phase. The AI reads the internet and summarizes it for you, but we are rapidly moving into the transactional phase.
Meaning the AI actually does the shopping.
Meaning you don't pull out your phone and ask, where is a plumber? You say, Siri, book a plumber to fix my sink tomorrow morning between 8 and 10 a.m., and my budget is $200.
And the AI just handles the rest.
The AI agent goes out onto the web, finds the local options, checks their real-time availability, cross-references the pricing, and potentially even executes the booking on your behalf.
So now we have a robot literally trying to spend human money.
Exactly.
Right.
Now play that scenario out with messy data.
Oh, man.
If the AI agent is actively trying to book an appointment and your business listing doesn't have a clear, structured book now link,
right,
or your hours are ambiguous, or your phone number format is weird, what does the agent do?
It just moves on. I mean, it's definitely not going to call the front desk to clarify.
It can't call you. Or even if it could, it won't, because that's computationally inefficient. It will skip straight past you to the competitor who has a beautifully structured, API-friendly booking interface.
Wow. So this is what we'd call the clean data economy.
Precisely. If your data isn't structured, you aren't transactable.
Yeah.
You aren't just invisible to the human searcher anymore. You are invisible to the AI buyer. And the AI buyer is going to be spending a lot of money in the next few years.
That is a massive mental shift. It completely changes the listener's role from being a traditional marketer to basically being a data architect.
I love that framing. Yes, you're building the digital infrastructure for machines to do business with you.
So let's wrap this up with a final thought for the listener. We've covered the mechanics, the confidence scores, the whole doom and gloom of being invisible.
Mm-hmm.
But if you strip all the complex tech away, what is the core philosophical lesson here?
The lesson is that truth is now the ultimate SEO strategy.
Truth. Just being truthful.
Think about it. For 20 years, people tried to trick Google.
Oh, yeah. Keyword stuffing.
Buying spammy backlinks, all of it. AI is too smart for those old tricks, but it is absolutely desperate for the truth.
Right.
It just wants to know exactly who you are, exactly where you are, and exactly what you do. If you can provide that truth clearly, consistently, and without friction, the machine stops being a threat and becomes your biggest advocate.
It's almost ironic, isn't it? The most advanced artificial intelligence in human history is basically forcing us to be more honest and authentic about our business data.
It really is. The robots don't want your marketing poetry. They just want the facts.
So the homework assignment for everyone listening is pretty clear. Go Google yourself. And don't look at where you rank. Look at the data itself.
Mm-hmm.
Pretend you are a highly logical robot with a credit card. Would you trust what you see?
And if the answer is maybe, or I don't know, go fix it. Claim the listings today.
Fantastic advice. Thank you so much for walking us through the plumbing of the future. I feel a lot less anxious about it now.
Always a pleasure to be here.
And to everyone listening, thanks for diving deep with us. Check your listings, polish up that data, and we will see you in the next deep dive. Stay curious.